So in this new century, if you tell someone your name is Ted, people say, well, hi there, Ted. You say you know someone named Ted, they might say, Ted who or so what? But if you say, in this century, I did a TED talk, people pay attention. They immediately know what you mean and want to know more. They can go online and find you. It's an odd thing, this TED talk, something like a Boy or Girl Scout merit badge. It's 21st century street cred on the avenue of good intentions.
I am no designer. Nope. New way.
I've done a few TED Talks, given that 18-minute talk at the flagship annual TED conference. It's great, actually. Thousands of people have done them at the big conference or the many TED Global or TEDx conferences all over the world. It's a mark of success for a little gathering that started in Monterey, California in the 90s and has today become virtually a new form of media.
There are 2.5 billion people around the world that don't have a credit score.
Brain magic to me indicates, you know, that area of magic dealing with psychological and mind reading effects.
People who have a strong sense of love and belonging believe they're worthy of love and belonging.
People were using the hashtag to connect. People were connecting over their Africanness.
In the snark-free, sales pitch-free, truly spin-free TED world, ideas rule. And Chris Anderson, who became the head of the TED team more than a decade ago, says the ideas can be big or small. After observing thousands of successful talks, he's written a little book, TED Talks, the official TED guide to public speaking. It's Anderson's earnest and convincing argument that a better public discourse at every level depends, quite simply, on improved public speaking skills.
For me, what was special about TED was that these ideas coming from all over were being expressed in a way that was somehow both accessible and inspiring. And the journey since taking it over was, how do you let this out into the world more broadly? Because everyone who went there kind of got inspired, but it wasn't clear what you could do with that. It was limited to the 800 people who were there. And it just felt like there was something more that should be done with that. Ideas don't like to be trapped. They want to spread. And so, you know, we tried to find a way to do it. And we tried on television, first of all. No one was interested. You know, talking heads, boring TV. And so then, you know, 2006, suddenly this weird technology of online video came along. And we did an experiment and were stunned to see these little talks going viral on the internet.
And when you come out with this, you know, guide to public speaking, I just thought the simple thing is the thing. Why do you think people want this?
I think public speaking has shifted. I think this moment 10 years ago when online video made it possible for speakers' words to spread beyond the room to thousands of people out there around the world, you can think of that as a kind of Gutenberg moment mm-hmm. for public speaking. Mm-hmm. And it's given people a much greater incentive to really try and figure out how to make a talk great. And frankly, I think presentation literacy is a really important skill for the future because it doesn't depend on having a gig in front of a large audience. You can present to a camera, you know, you can present to your iPhone. If you have something worthwhile and if you say it in a compellingly human way, that might go viral. I think your kids are not going to spend that much time writing letters to the editor or producing careful written resumes. They're going to present themselves directly on video because you can now.
To extend on your Gutenberg metaphor, what do you think this 18-minute module is? Is it a novel? Is it a play? Is it a... What is it? Where does it fit?
I mean, I think it comes from the fact that that's a fairly natural human attention span. You know, the brain is a muscle, in a sense. It tires after a certain amount of time focusing on something. And that amount of time is somewhere 15 to 20 minutes for most people. And certainly on the internet, the chances of a 30-minute video going viral are reasonably remote. A few of them can, but it's not prime time. What we're trying to do is to put a stake in the ground in the brutal attention war that's out there. We're all being ever more distracted by, you know, nonsense online, let's face it. So to carve out a place for things that matter and, you know, make them compelling enough that they have a chance at winning people's love for a few minutes.
I think what a TED Talk represents is a kind of change the world manifesto from individual people who are calling for various righteous things to happen in the world or trying to explain something that you don't necessarily believe you can understand and then boom, you can scientifically.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite put it quite that strongly as like a change the world manifesto. That picture of a TED Talk really annoys some people. And it's true that some speakers really do say, this is the amazing answer. I think a lot more say, look, here's a problem that we really need to tackle. We need to think about it. I don't necessarily know the answer to it, but look, here's what I've discovered. I've discovered this. Maybe if we press in this direction, at least there's a chance that we make some progress. And so I've tried to dial back that picture of TED as being, oh, big solutions, technology can solve everything. I actually don't believe that, and I don't think most TED speakers believe that. But what I do think they believe is that it's worth engaging. You know, it's so easy to be cynical about the world. Everyone's scared about the world as it is. I think the TED sensibility is to say, well, can we do any better than that? Can we at least take this on? Can we find a way of exploring a different angle? Can we think outside the box?
What rut that TED maybe steers near scares you the most? The everybody's Deepak Chopra, the first TED Talk that does a recipe. Is that going to scare you?
I think there's been one unintentional consequence of putting all these talks online, which is that people have tried to reverse engineer them and figure out what's the formula? And then maybe they come to TED and they repeat what they think the formula is. And actually, one of the motivations for writing this book is to try and dispel the notion once and for all that there is a formula, there isn't a formula. When people come and kind of strut the stage and present some charismatic presence and say, let me inspire you with my vision, you know, I hate that. It really doesn't work. And so we've tried to really push back on that and instead say, no, every talk is different, should be different. Find the way to speak that is the best fit for the idea that you want to share. Because honestly, the only thing that matters is that someone actually has something worth saying. You know, substance 100 times more than style.
How much is this brand worth? On the back of a napkin?
Well, it's an irrelevant question because it's owned by a nonprofit. So I dare say, you know, we've occasionally been approached by media companies willing to waive very large checks, much more than we paid for it. But we're a different kind of media organization because our currency isn't news, gossip, events, politics. It's just ideas. It's a different unit. It's ideas expressed through the human voice, through talks. I mean, the hope is that the lessons from TED can be applied to any form of public speaking. You know, even, you know, the wedding toast or the presentation at work, you're speaking as a gift. You're trying to offer something to the people listening, giving them something to take away. Maybe it's not a big serious idea, but it's a piece of joy or something, you know, wonderful to remember or a different way to think about the world. For example, a business presentation would be much more effective if people gave it not saying, look at all the amazing things we've accomplished, but saying, here's something really interesting that we learned. You know, that subtle shift, you can have exactly the same graphs and the same examples, but that subtle shift in focus can make a huge difference as to how something is received.
Chris Anderson, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Chris Anderson, president and head curator of TED.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.